share that God tested my faith on giving me a picture, and I wasn't faithful in sharing that because I didn't have the faith in that moment of that is what the Lord actually wants to come and do. So even my faith lacks sometimes. Something else that the Lord speaks about, or in when we go read the Word of God, and we'll get to the Scripture actually a little bit later, is the laying on of hands. And what it means and what it entails is so much more than just putting your hand on someone's shoulder and comfort them. But there's a realness, there's a caring aspect that comes with laying on of hands. It's praying for the sick. It's looking after one another. There's a being together in that. It is also, I'm not going to go into too much detail now, but there's a caring for one another. And again, something I was challenged on this weekend is how much do I care for the people of God that He entrusted with me here in Kimberley, in our local context, you know, and how much do I reach out, and how much do I touch base with people, or do I just here and there? And I know I try my best, but God always wants the more for us. And not just for the Aarons and the Lisa who leads the congregation. It's about every single person, even those who doesn't know Him yet. And I was challenged on going to someone who I know of that's sick, that's not in the congregation, and I was challenged to go and pray for them and have faith that the Lord will touch them. And I was like, yeah, that's laying on of hands. It's caring for people, even outside of our congregation. So as I stand here today and as I share, as I go into the Scripture, and we're going to look at maturity and immaturity, all of us are immature in some aspects. Some of us are still immature, young believers, and some of us are maturing. But God's heart is for everyone to mature. So we need to know that as we start here this morning, is God's heart for each person here this morning is so that we will mature into being Christ-like. So to make sure that we all have a good understanding and the same starting page here is children. Many of us have children, or at least have experienced or seen children. We see them all around us every Sunday. They have milestones that we measure them on as they grow up. The first time they start crawling, before they start crawling, they sit up straight on their own. And then they start crawling, and then they start walking, and then they start eating by themselves, and then they start bathing by themselves, and they go to school. And then in school, we've got a bunch of milestones that they need to reach. And we measure them by these milestones. And I know studies have been done, but the reality is of our school structure and system, we actually measure them against one another more than we actually measure them against these milestones. But as Christians, we don't have milestones. We are immature believers when we come to Christ, and then we start maturing to be Christ-like. But there are no milestones. Why are there no milestones? Because we don't have the same background when we come to Christ. When God reaches out, I'm going to say that correctly this time, God always reaches out His hand. Once we decide to grab hold of His hand, we are in different places, situations, background scenarios. And God takes us where we are, and He starts walking with us. No matter the age, your age, no matter your background, no matter the sins that you've done and the sins that you will still do, His hand is always there, and His hands always reach out. So we don't have these milestones that I go, oh, once I've baptized, now I've grown a little bit. Once I start jumping this high in worship, I have grown a little bit again. Because what if you only get saved once you're, I don't want to put an age to jumping now. 60, thanks. Nadine did that for me. I can't do that yet. Or if I pray out loud, I have reached a milestone again. No, that's you maturing into being Christ-like, meaning that you are following the example that Jesus has set, worshiping passionately, but also knowing when to be still and know that He is Lord. There's a balance. Or, when do I pray out loud, but when do I pray in my quiet room or in my inner room, in my secret place? Or no, when I need to share something, when do I share truth with someone, or when do I just keep quiet and let someone speak? That is me maturing in Christ. It's not milestones. So as believers, as we come to the Lord, we are all immature believers. We're all children of God. Infants, the Bible calls us. And then we start maturing. We're going to look at some scriptures at what happened to some of the believers on their way as they were maturing, or they had to mature, and then Paul or other writers write to them and go, you are missing it. You are not maturing. So we immediately think, just because I give my life to the Lord, I will mature automatically. You don't automatically mature. It's not like it doesn't just happen. You play a part in it. You have to do something. A good suggestion is go to church as a good start. Read your Bible is a great way to start maturing in the Lord. Participating in worship is a great suggestion. But if you don't do those things, you're probably not going to mature. So, let's go read 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1 to 3. Paul writes, he says, brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? And as he writes to them, he goes, I want you to mature. I want you to hear more or eat more solid food. But I can't. I can't teach you more of the Lord because you are still drinking milk. Not only are you drinking world, he says, for since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, he's speaking to Christians here. And I read that scripture, I go, Lord, am I jealous of someone in church or outside of church? Because then I'm an infant. That's what Paul said here. Do I have quarreling with someone inside the church? Because then I'm an infant. Then I need to sort that thing out so that I can start eating solid foods and I can learn more of the Lord. We page to Hebrews, and the author of Hebrews, in Hebrews 5, verse 1 to 10, it's not part of the scriptures, it's just an explanation of what's happening. The author there explains the qualifications of a high priest, and also he establishes that Jesus is the ultimate high priest, which I do believe in our context as well. As soon as I start speaking of high priests and stuff, we don't really understand that what it is, because it is not elementary truths. We'll get to the elementary truths now. It's a little bit more solid food. It's at stake. It's when we gather around the braai and we're able to eat and not just drink milk. So Hebrews 5 verse 11 to 14 says, we have much to say about this, about what he just wrote of the high priest and Jesus being the ultimate high priest. He says, for we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. He says, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have training themselves to distinguish good from evil. So there's a training, there's a trying, there's a growing, there's something is happening. He uses these words. He says, you no longer try to understand. You come to church, you hear the word, you leave. But you don't check what is shared. You go to community unprepared because the comm leader is prepared. We come to prayer times to listen how other people pray. No. We come to prayer times so we can pray together. When we worship on a Sunday or any other times in communities, we had wonderful worship on Wednesday evening. We come prepared to worship because we try and understand the more of the Lord every single day. Not just on Sunday mornings or when it suits me. I grow. I don't expect my child that's 5 years old to try every single day to remember to brush his teeth because he's immature. He actually does remember, surprisingly. He will remind me to brush his teeth, obviously. What are you guys? Yes. Thanks, friends. But I don't expect of him to remember it because he's immature. And the same with immature believers. We can't expect some or certain things of them. But what I've seen many times is there's a zealousness in immature believers many times. People who just came to the Lord. Yeah, they are everywhere. And they're all over the place. The problem, many times, as I read here in Hebrews as well, is by this time you ought to be teachers, meaning that time has passed. These people has hulle moes al gegroei het. They should have been in a different place, but they're not. They were probably growing, and then at some point they just stopped. So if you are here this morning and you think you're an immature believer, it's not something to be looked down on or anything. It's actually something to go like, yes, I am an immature believer and I do want to know more of God. I want to do this well. I want to mature well in the Lord. Do it and listen with that heart. But then I want to say, if you are here and you think that you are a mature believer, you should change your thinking because we are maturing believers. We are not mature in the Lord. We'll never be until the day that He comes back because then we will be perfect like He is. But up until then, we are maturing and we are still growing and learning. So for anyone who has known the Lord for a while, I want to ask you to soften your heart and let the Holy Spirit allow Him to work in your heart and ask Him as we go into the elementary truths now. Do you know the elementary truths? Do you still live by them? Or do you think it's only for the new believers? Because if you've come to a point where you think the elementary truths are only for new believers, you are immature. And the author of Hebrews calls you an infant. I'm saying the author of Hebrews because I had someone tell me this week, jy het gesê. So this time you can't phone me and say, jy het gesê. The author of Hebrews said, being still an infant. And he says in verse 13, he says, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness, to be in right standing with the Lord. An immature believer doesn't understand that yet. He doesn't understand that his life, as he lives it out now, there needs to be a constant repentance every single day. We don't just repent once and then we're sorted for the rest of our lives. No, we keep on repenting every single day, probably. Unless you, okay, I repent probably every day. There's something that I need to repent of. Say, sorry, Lord, I missed it. Help me tomorrow to be more like you. Because I want to be Christ-like. So, I want to be in right standing with the Lord. So, what are those elementary truths? In Hebrews 6. Who would have thought that the Lord thought of everything? When the writer wrote this, he didn't just tell them that, hey, you're missing it out. You're missing out on these. He then went on and he wrote to them what they are missing out. And he says in verse 1 and 2, it took him 2 verses to tell them what they are missing out on. Therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundations of repentance from acts that lead to death, and of faith in God, instruction about cleansing rites, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And God permitting, we will do so. Meaning, if God permits, we will move on from these elementary truths into something more mature. So I do want us to check our lives this morning. I'm going to go through, I'm not going to go into depth and deep dive into these truths. But I'm going to give us an overview of these 6 truths. So that you can check your own life and your own faith and go, Lord, do I at least know these truths? Because that at least makes me an immature believer. And then I can grow. So the first one, repentance from dead works. Have you repented of the things that you've done in the past so that you can live by repentance? Because tomorrow, you're going to be tested. Sorry, that's way too far ahead. Today, you will be tested again. If you've got kids, you'll be tested in half an hour. Okay. If your kids are grown, you probably get an hour. You will be tested somehow today. And are you ready to repent if you miss it? Are you ready to repent for what you haven't repented? And I realize, I know that I don't do everything right. I know it. And I try not to live that way. Try and live a humble life knowing that I'll do something wrong. But when I do, I'm ready to accept. My wife will tell me very quickly when I do something wrong. You can't speak to the children like that. You can't make a joke like that. It doesn't glorify God. Shucks, missed it. I need to say sorry. And then learn from my repentance. The second one, faith towards God. Oh man, this is the one I had to repent from just at the start of this meeting. Where's your faith when it comes to God? Evan just shared, his stewardship teaching is on the faith that he has in the Lord. Is he willing that the Lord will come and shape that faith from going, oh Lord, you can save me, to, Lord, you are really my Lord, my Savior, my everything. You are able to save my children. Oh, Mac and Nadine, if you don't mind, I'm not going to share your testimony. That's for you to do. But their children grew up in a God-loving, fearing house. And their son made a choice. And he turned away from the Lord completely. And they prayed. They kept on praying. They kept on trusting the Lord. And he shared this weekend, they shared with us that sometimes they'll sit with friends and the friends will go, let's pray for your son. And they go, we don't have faith anymore because he's so far off. And they kept on praying. And 7 years later, right? That 7 years? He turned back to the Lord. And now he's serving the Lord. In his own, not in a meeting like this. He wasn't at a gathering. He wasn't at a conference. He was at his own. And he phoned his dad the next day and he said, "There's nothing I fear more than God." Do you have faith for those who are unbelievers? Do you have faith for your own life? That the Lord will come in. Those of you who put up your hand this morning and said, "I'm not sure how to get out of this situation." Do you have faith like those who came to pray for you? It's a foundation for us as Christians to have faith. And in Galatians 2 verse 16 we read, I'll read it from there. "Know that a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by observing the law, because by observing the law, no one will be justified." We need to put our faith in Christ. We can't put it in anything, because nothing else will save us. Nothing else will justify us. And then faith will play out. It will be shown in your deeds and in your works. The third one is the doctrine of baptism. In verse 2, it says, "Instruction about cleansing rites," referring to baptism. So we have baptism where we go underwater and we are baptized. There's a physical baptism that happens. And we'll read two scriptures of why we do it. But there's also a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes they go together. Sometimes there's a baptism of the Holy Spirit as soon as you give your life to the Lord. Sometimes there's not, because the place where you get saved doesn't have an understanding of that necessarily. And they only teach you to give your heart to the Lord and you put up your hand and you do a prayer and off you go. But if we understand the Word, if we read the Word, we understand that there's a filling of the Holy Spirit, which is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because God sends His Spirit to be with us always until the end of days. So in Acts 2 verse 38, Peter says, "Repent," which was the first one of these elementary truths, "and be baptized." He says, "Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins," because you repented, "and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So there he was like, if you get baptized, you will also be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it happens together. And we praise the Lord for when He does. Also in John 3 verse 5, He says, this time it's Jesus speaking. He says, "Truly, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit." You are baptized in the physical, and there's a... We can speak about baptism on another day, the physical baptism. But there's a baptism in the Spirit so that you're able to hear the voice of the Lord and you can follow it. Then the laying on of hands. I started with just testifying as well as how I have been challenged over the weekend. So the practice of laying on of hands is for, when we read it, especially in the New Testament, it's for blessing people. It's for when there's an anointing onto people. When we were prayed into leading this congregation, someone didn't phone in over Zoom and prayed for us because they are a higher authority. No, people flew in from Cape Town that we trusted leaders, and they came to lay hands on us because there was an anointing that was passed to us, and we believe that is something that happens in the Spirit. And then also we pray for the sick. And this scripture, or this little saying, it's not even a whole verse. As I read it, I realized, hey, this debunks the whole "I watch church on TV." Because you are not able to lay hands on people if you are part of church TV, or whatever you want to call it. Okay. So if anyone ever tells you that they watch church on TV, if you've got a good relationship with them, maybe just go through the elementary truths with them next time. And we can read of We're not going to go through these scriptures, but the healing in Mark, impartation of the Holy Spirit in Acts, ordination in 1 Timothy, that's for leaders specifically. Then, when we get to this one, the elementary truth of the resurrection of the dead. How many people have seen people risen from the dead? Anyone here today? No? Okay. Elementary truth. Okay. Still to come. There we go. Because it shows, first of all, that we need to believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. That's the first one. And then secondly, that we need to believe we will be raised from the dead one day to be with Jesus as believers. And on that day, or that, I'm not sure, I'm not putting a timeline to that. I don't know what happens when we get raised from the dead. There will be a judgment as well. And that's the sixth one, the last one. It says the internal judgment. So the future judgment of all people based on their actions and their faith. God is the only righteous judge, and everyone will stand in front of Him one day as He rightfully judge our actions and our faith. And the Bible is very specific about our faith. You can't have faith but not works. You can't have works without faith. So one day, when we are raised from the dead to be with Jesus, what will He say to you? What will that conversation look like? Will He turn to the elementary truths and go, "My son, I asked you to believe, to have faith in me, but you didn't have faith in me. Therefore, you never matured past a certain..." Whatever, I can't call it a level or a milestone. You didn't mature as I wanted you to mature. And I was there. I was in church for quite a few years. I was in Josh Jen for quite a few years. And Josh Jen is quite a healthy church. I've measured it. I've went out and I've had a look at what else is out there. And I was in Josh Jen. I was saved. I gave my life to the Lord. But I was still very immature. And I struggled on the first one, on repentance. I didn't always repent. Lived in sin. Kept on living in sin. And then one day, it changed. And I allowed God to work in me. And I could move past that elementary truth. Because I realized the power of repentance and then living in the freedom that God has for me. Well, yeah, I'm going to read this last scripture for us in Romans. So I do side note here that the author is writing here to unbelievers, not to believers, but it does speak of the of eternal judgment and of one day when we'll stand in front of God. So Romans 2 verse 5 to 6. It says, "But because of your stubbornness and your unrepented heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed." Is that 5 and 6? That's just 5 now. "God will give to each person according to what he has done." We build up treasures in heaven. We don't build treasures up here on earth. And God is the one who judges what we do on earth. So that when we go to Him, when we are there for eternity, for the rest of our lives, how that life will look, I don't know. I'm not the one to say. God is. But what I do know is I want to live a life that one day when I get to Him, He goes, my good and faithful servant. And He embraces me as His son. And says, "I love you. Thank you for the effort that you've put in. Thank you that you allowed me to mature you. Because I can't do it on my own. I can't mature on my own. It's impossible." Very graphic, but very true. If you have a baby, you put that baby down. baby's not going to mature on its own. It's going to grow until certain growth. I don't know what to call it. And the baby's going to die. So if we are infants in Christ, we need to be looked after. All right. I'm gonna land it here for us with, guys, as a church, we look after one another. A Sunday preach is a little bit of being fed, a little bit of truth being given to you. These six elementary truths, go and read Hebrews 6 again. Verse 1 and 2, that's not a lot of Bible study to do in the week. And check your life. Do you believe and do you walk in these elementary truths? Or have you forgotten the elementary truths? Because God wants that as the foundation so that you are able to mature, so that you are able to grow into what He has for you, whatever it is. And as a church, that's the vision of Joshua generation, is that together we seek the vision for one another's lives, or the purpose for one another's lives. So you are able to go to your community and say, guys, I'm not sure what my purpose is. I'm not sure what the Lord has for me. Will you pray for me? And together, we pray about it. We fast. We ask the Lord, and we share, and we grow together so that we can grow together as a church, so that we can walk in the more that the Lord has for us, so that more people will be added to us, and more people will walk in what He has for them. It's not about the man of God. It's not about you. It's about God. Let's close our eyes. Lord, one day we'll stand in front of You, but today we are also standing in front of You, and we are opening up our hearts, and we are asking You to come and reveal anything in us that's not Christ-like, anything that's not ready to mature, or any place that we have stopped the growing, anything that we forgot, that You will come and reveal it by Your Spirit, that Your Spirit will come and show it to us so that we are able to mature into the more of You, Lord. We pray and ask that we will not stay the same, that we will be challenged, but that we will accept the challenge so that we will become Christ-like. Until one day when You come back to earth and we will be perfect with You. Because of You. And even as we sit here, just take a few seconds. Just allow the Lord to show you in which area you can mature.